Hi, and welcome back to the Website 101 podcast. I'm Sean Smith, your co-host. And with me, as always, is Mike Mella.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Pretty good, Mike. Glad to have you back. Mm-hmm. And today, we're going to be talking about the elephant in the website room. And that elephant is WordPress. Powers over 30% of the internet. It's the first thing that anybody thinks about when they're looking into websites. Everybody knows WordPress. And we have a WordPress expert with us, Gregory Hammond. And myself and Gregory, we met online doing a live chat, and he was talking about WordPress. I was talking about Craft, and we were talking about best practices in general for websites. So, Gregory, can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do, where you're based.
Sure. First of all, thank you guys for having me. It's an honor to be a guest on this fine podcast. My name is Gregory. I've been doing WordPress now for, has it been 5 years? Yeah, it's been close to 5 years. My business is Gregory Development. I help entrepreneurs and small businesses with their websites, with mostly their WordPress websites.
Cool.
Excellent. So 5 years, that's a pretty good length of time. So just in case there are some users who don't know what WordPress is, despite it being the elephant in the room, can you give us a little background about what it is and why it's the one that everybody knows?
Sure, Sean. WordPress is a content management system, just like Craft, CMS, or any of those other big ones, but it's completely open source, meaning that it's run by the community. The community makes additions or makes subtractions or whatever it is, and it is completely free. You don't have to pay a dime for WordPress.
All right. So, Mike, did you have any questions about that? Or?
Yeah. The funny thing about WordPress, it's not a funny thing, but the great thing is that even if you don't know anything about websites at all, there's a good chance you've heard about WordPress. Like that's pretty amazing for a CMS, right? Like I don't think any other CMS in the world can say that. There are people who, you know, if they're just starting a business or whatever and they need a CMS, they have heard of WordPress, even if they've never even gotten onto the web yet at all. So that's pretty impressive that it has that kind of status in the industry. You mentioned that it's open source and everyone contributes to it. Who owns WordPress? Because there's a WordPress.org and a WordPress.com. What's the difference there?
The difference between the .com and .org is that .com is run and paid for by the company which first created WordPress, which is automated. I think that's how it's pronounced. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
That sounds good to me. Yeah. I think that's it.
Then WordPress.org is what WordPress.com from the beginning version, and then it's completely open source, meaning anybody can contribute, anybody can do additions or anything like that. But it has its own servers where you have to run it on your own. .com has its own servers so that you pay them to basically run your WordPress website. Much more limited compared from .com to .org. .org you can do basically anything. .com is very limited in what you can do, but there's pros and cons to both depending on what you want and what you're willing to pay.
So it sounds to me like WordPress.com is similar to something like Wix or Squarespace, where it's software as a service, and WordPress.org is I download the files and I do what I want with it. Is that correct?
Yes, but with the .org, you don't even have to necessarily download it. There are some companies that offer what are called one-click WordPress installers, meaning you buy the hosting service from them, and then you just say, I want WordPress. And then it says, okay, what username and password do you want? Okay, and then it automatically installs WordPress and does everything that for you behind the scenes.
So that all you go through the wizard for you.
Exactly. So all you have to do is log in.
Yeah, a lot of people who our you know audience, if they've dealt with a hosting environment where they're going through cPanel or one of these kind of tools that let you set up your email accounts and things like that, yeah, you often see you know just a WordPress button that lets you kind of get up and running just like that without any installing anything yourself or whatever. It's pretty slick.
Actually, coincidentally, more advanced hosting options using DigitalOcean and ServerPilot or Laravel Forge also have one-click installs, which I was surprised to see. I use both Forge and ServerPilot with DigitalOcean when I'm hosting my clients, but I don't do the WordPress stuff. But I did see that the option exists there. So Gregory, I want to run my own WordPress website. What is the best company to host my website with? In your opinion, do you provide hosting for yourself for your clients as a reseller? And if not, where do you send your clients? So, and something like that.
That's a great question, because there is no best company. The best company is the one that works for you. Now, of course, there are certain companies we all know you should avoid. GD and a couple other companies I'm not going to publicly name. But again, they might have great employees, but they aren't the best for WordPress hosting. I resell WordPress hosting, but that doesn't mean you can't go with somebody else, depending on who you choose. The one place I would stay away from is on WordPress.org. There is a hosting page. Stay away from most of the companies listed on that page, because they pay to show up on that page.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, I would also like to plug an episode from season one where we talked about website hosting. So I'm going to include that in the show notes, and also add in avoid any hosts that are owned by EIG. Check the show notes.
Yes.
Check the show notes for the hosting episode. EIG is an evil, evil, evil company. I speak from experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They are completely evil. Again, the employees might be good, but their service they provide, basically what happens is a company gets bought by them. Yeah. And then a year or less, they turn to absolute S. I'm not going to spoil the show, but they turn to absolute S.
Yeah, that happened to me. So, one of my clients was on a great host, a Canadian host, actually, that was doing great for us, and everything was going just fine. And then they got bought up by EIG, and the service went so far down, we had to move to a new host altogether.
I think I know which company you're talking about, too, but I'm not going to mention the name, because it's a bad company.
Yeah.
Let's just say there's a fruit name in it, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds like the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was with a host, an American host, for about 8 years, and then they got bought out by EIG, and that's when I started learning about DigitalOcean and running my own servers. So that's what I do now.
Mm. So Gregory, speaking of quality assurance and that kind of thing with regard to hosting a WordPress site, I heard that WordPress sites are always getting hacked. Is that true?
Yes and no. It is true they are constantly getting hacked, but it's because 30% of the world's websites run on WordPress, which makes it an easy target.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's the same reason that Windows gets more viruses than Mac, because it's more popular.
Right. Exactly. So what do you do? You're probably going to ask the next question. So what do you do?
I would like to know what you do. Yeah.
The best
exactly.
The best thing to do is two things. One, get some sort of plugin for your website, like WordFence or something like that, that runs on your website so that you don't have to worry about it. And also create backups, maintain your website, keep everything updated. If somebody says, oh, you need to update your website, then please go on and update it. Mm-hmm. Don't say, I'll do it later, or I'll pay somebody else to do it. Yes, you can pay people to do it, or you can do it yourself. It depends on what you have the budget for and what you have the time for.
Mm-hmm. Take ownership of your site, right?
Or pay somebody to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple of comments about that. So keep your website updated. Very important. Coincidentally, a couple of weeks ago, I wrote a blog article, Why Website Maintenance is Important. I'll link to it in the show notes. And we've got an upcoming episode with another guest. We're going to talk about the same thing. I saw her post on LinkedIn on the same topic. So that's an upcoming topic, probably near the end of season 3.
Again, all of the stuff that I mentioned, or Sean mentioned, or anybody else mentioned on the show, we are not being paid to say any of this, okay? This is all complete. We're all doing this completely for free publicity.
I'm not getting paid at all. I want to be clear about that. If someone wants to pay me, I'll continue.
I'm paying to run this thing.
Yeah, exactly. None of us are being paid to mention anything. So if we mention anything by name, it's because we're not being paid to do so. Or if we're avoiding a name, it's because we don't want you to find out about that name.
Right. Hey, so can you tell me more about the WordFence plugin? I've heard about it before, but as I mentioned previously, I'm not a WordPress fan, so I don't really know in detail. What exactly does it do for you, and how easy is it to configure?
So WordFence is a plugin. So most people know about a plugin for Craft CMS or anything like that. It's an addition to your website, and it all runs behind the scenes. So it takes care of security, takes care of... I get weekly emails from them saying, okay, you had 200 people try to log into your website, or you had these files changed recently. And then it takes care of all of that for me. I don't have to worry about, oh no, is somebody trying to get into my website? Oh no, is somebody trying to find a certain directory and basically crack and hack into my website? It takes care of all of that. Again, it's not perfect, but it's better than nothing.
And these, so plugins, we'll probably get into this in more depth shortly here, but plugins in general, there's obviously a big plugin ecosystem with WordPress, because that's the whole sort of idea, is that you can add on to the functionality and all that. WordFence, is this free or does that cost money?
There's a free version and there's a paid version.
What's the difference
between it is you start with the free version, and then if you pay for it, you get security updates sooner. So if WordFence monitors the security industry and keeps track of that, and then if they notice somebody who's really trying to get into WordPress websites, they'll plug their premium customers first. Mm-hmm. And then if you have the free version, you get those updates 30 days later.
30 days later. Oh, wow.
I do not like the idea of having to wait 30 days.
Again, it's a con. Do you want to pay for it, or is it? Or do you want to have the free version? Right. I do the free version because I don't need that right now. Mm-hmm. But if you want to pay for that, you can. But as always, make sure to take backups of your websites.
Right.
Right. So some of your clients might need that. Let's stay on this topic about plugins. So can you tell me more about WordPress plugins in general? How do they affect your website? Is there such a thing as too many plugins?
So plugins...
which I have an article about as well.
So plugins are what is behind the scenes of your website. You install it, and then it does whatever it says it does. Again, there are nefarious plugins, but you have to keep that in mind, and you have to do sort of your due diligence, as we would always say. Mm-hmm. But plugins are anything behind the scenes. You can do WordFence, you can do, I'm blanking on stuff right now, but you can do almost whatever you want behind.
Like an SEO plugin.
The SEO plugin, exactly. Or there's many other options depending on what you want. But as you may have heard of, WordPress recently changed with WordPress 5.0 to what's called Gutenberg, which is a new site editor. A lot of people hate it. But if you install a plugin, you can go back to the old version. You'll still be on WordPress 5, but you would edit the site using the old version.
Right. So for listeners, I have an article where I talk about over-reliance on plugins. And there's a lot of risk with using too many plugins or choosing the wrong plugins. I'll link to that. And I'm going to actually ask Gregory to address plugins in general a little bit further. In WordPress, let's say I want to use a plugin that's going to do ABC, like some feature that is not part of the base install. And I search the plugin. Is it called the store?
There are many ways you could find a plugin. One of the best options is to go into your dashboard and then go to the plugin section, and you can search in there.
So right inside the CMS.
Searches the WordPress store. Those are all checked by the team behind WordPress and by volunteers to make sure they're actually good plugins and that they actually don't try to drive us certain safety features. Mm-hmm. But you can also...
All right, so they're all vetted plugins.
Yeah.
All right, that's good to know. I didn't know that. Let's say I go in and I'm searching for a plugin that is going to do XYZ function. Maybe it's SEO. Maybe it's like going to add some new editor capabilities or hook into an API that I need to connect to. And I find 7 different plugins, which, as I understand it, is not uncommon with WordPress, that there's multiple plugins. How do I choose the best one and one that is going to be supported and one that is not, the plugin developer is not going to like disappear into vapor 2 years from now, and then my site is locked on an old insecure version of the CMS because I can't update the plugin.
You sound like you're describing an exact situation that happened to you. Is that what happened there? And then the guy, he did this other thing.
No, I've seen this not with WordPress, but with other CMSs where I chose a plugin or I've acquired a website that had a plugin. It's no longer developed and I can't actually update the website anymore because of that. So basically, what kind of advice could you give to a do-it-yourselfer to properly vet and choose a plugin that is more likely to stay around for the long term?
Hi, hope you're enjoying this episode. We're always looking for topic suggestions from listeners, so if there's anything you'd like us to discuss in the future, please let us know.
We're also looking for guests. If you know somebody who would make a great guest, if you think you would be a good guest, please let us know. You can reach out to us at website 101podcast.com/contact.
The best thing I would do, there's 2 major things you would do. One, look at reviews. Look at the reviews on the official. If it's from the official store, which are all free, by the way, then look and see what the reviews are. If the majority of them are 1, 2, even 3-star reviews, then I would stay away from them. And 2 is check when the plugin was last updated. On the WordPress...
Oh, that's a good idea.
On the WordPress store, you can actually see when the last exact date it was updated. Mm-hmm. So you can go in and see, okay, what's updated a week ago, 2 days ago, 2 months ago. And if it's up, if it was last updated more than 3 years ago, WordPress actually displays a banner on that plugin's page saying, hey, this plugin hasn't been developed in 3 years. Uh-huh. This might not be compatible with the current version of WordPress. This is done, you can install it at own risk.
Cool, I see.
Oh, that's I like the fact that they give a little bit of a warning. Again, as somebody who doesn't use WordPress, I'm unaware of these little things. Mm-hmm. So I like to hear that.
You know, I've had something else I wanted to point out about plugins with WordPress. Whenever I've had some experience using WordPress, and one of the things that impresses me with that is that a lot of plugins add functionality to the front end of your website as well. So like once I had an example where I had to add a store locator where you kind of plot your stores on a map and they can sort of click on the pins and gives you the address or whatever. And it was running on WordPress. And I was able to install a mapping plugin that lets me put all these offices one by one in there, like just one after another. I had that up and running in, it must have been 30 minutes, where it would have taken me probably days to develop that myself on another CMS.
Approximately 2.5 days.
There you go.
Again,
thank you, Sean.
Speaking from experience, I've done it on 3 or 4 sites. The first time took a long time. After that, I can crib code from the other sites.
Right.
The thing with WordPress is you tend to rely more on plugins than you do on other platforms.
Right.
But again, there's no such thing as the number of, if you say too many, I'm doing air quotes when I say too many, it depends on how many you want and what your hosting platform can handle.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. I prefer to use as few plugins as possible. I like to stick with the core, but every website needs to use some.
And WordPress tends to rely more on plugins because SEO, you need a separate plugin. Security, you need a separate plugin. All these sorts of things you need separate plugins for.
Right.
Which you can't just say, okay, I'm going to bake this into WordPress install by itself. You actually have to install the plugin.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for the listeners, that's actually part of the reason myself and Mike prefer CMS like Craft CMS or Statamic, because you can do a lot more out of the box.
Yeah, although
we still need plugins.
And the drawback from the other side would be it takes a lot more development to set those CMSs up versus WordPress, where you can literally click a button and it's up and running in a few hours.
30 minutes for your store locator versus 2.5 days. Yeah. But the 2.5 days gets you a lot of bespoke custom options, whereas with a plugin, assuming the plugin does what you want, you're good. But if you need something the plugin doesn't do, then you're also going to be diving into custom coding.
Right.
And something about those 7 plugins is sometimes there might be 7 different plugins, as you said, Sean, but also you sometimes have to find what the best one is for you. They might all say they do the same thing, but they might do things slightly differently. So look upon the WordPress official views, but also Google the plugin and put the plugin name and then put WordPress at the end of it and see what people say about it. Because you might say about stuff on their own website about it.
Right.
Okay. I'd also like to talk one more thing about plugins before we move on, unless Mike has something else plugin related.
No.
As I understand it, every plugin that you install that does something on the front end adds its own CSS and its own JavaScript file, which can, well, not can, will negatively impact your site speed. And as we all know, site speed is a big factor with Google SEO. What do you think about that? And is there a way to address the implications of all this added overhead?
Most plugins don't. Some plugins add CSS and JavaScript in their own specific thing if you add it to a page. So if you add that plugin in a specific area on a specific page, then it adds its own CSS and JavaScript, as you would say, but it does not change the overall site. Because if it changes the overall site, then it will get more negative reviews than positive reviews, because it's saying, it's taken over my entire website.
Oh, see, all right. I didn't know
so
that.
These files are only added on pages that plugin is needed.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense then.
That's cool.
So for example, if you have a store, WooCommerce is a popular store plugin for WordPress. And if you add it to your website, it only adds that CSS and JavaScript to its own pages.
Nice.
All right.
Now
that's good to know.
You can add that to other pages, but again, you need to know the code to copy. You need to know how to actually change yourself. Again, do that at your own risk or hire somebody who knows how to do that. Don't do it yourself unless you are willing to spend lots of time and read lots of code trying to do that yourself.
And you may not need that anyway. You might be better off with it just on the one page where it's required, right?
Exactly. And there are some plugins that don't even do any styling at all. I have a contact form that does very little, if no styling. I have to do the styling myself, but it takes the styling from what I've already set within WordPress. So within WordPress, you can set its own font and everything else like that.
Right.
That's all within the theme, which we should catch on, but it takes it from there, so you don't have to worry about trying to, what is it going to exactly look like? It's going to take it directly from what's already been given.
It'll sort of inherit the site's existing styles and things like that.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Or take from what the site already has.
Right. So
okay, so that one sounds more developer oriented.
Yeah.
Whereas a DIY guy is going to want some styles included.
Okay.
All right.
So you touched on it a second ago. Let's take a step back and look at that. Themes. The other thing that WordPress is really known for, it's themes. Tell us briefly what is a theme, and well, let's just start there. What is a theme?
The theme is the look and feel of a website. So anytime you can see something, that's a theme. But it also allows you, some themes are very popular, some themes are free, some are paid, some are very expensive, but it all depends on what you want to pay for a theme and what you think looks good. There's one friend, actually, who was on the podcast in season 1, I think it was, Lyndon Johnson, who has a theme, and I think he paid $150 for it or something expensive like that.
That's a pricey one.
But you can also get my business site, which will be in the show notes, has a theme that has cost me nothing.
Okay.
All right. So related to themes, there are th- theme builder themes, also called site builders. Is this something that you're familiar with, or something that you would recommend to a DIY guy, or would you recommend it only for somebody who's more involved in the industry as a professional?
A site builder in WordPress has changed over time. It used to be you almost needed a site builder if you wanted a good looking site, but nowadays, not necessarily. With WordPress 5, which is known as Gutenberg, you can have a lot of stuff that you can add and change, but the site builders allow you to do a lot more.
Right. Okay. So do you use a site builder yourself, or are you going in and coding the theme? And back to the site builder as well, is there a particular site builder that you would recommend for a DIY person?
The page builder I would recommend for the DIYer is called Elementor. I'm going to try and find that right now, and I'll send without being in the show notes. That is completely free, but there are also ones like Divi. There's so many other page builders to find them and just use what works for you, because what I use may not work directly for you, but you may also want more customization. You may want this, you may want that it doesn't provide. And some page builders are very bloated, as in it takes up a lot of resources on your website, and some take up very little. So it depends on how much you want to get free or get paid in bloated and how much you want to pay.
Yeah.
Is there a way to know which theme builders are going to take up more resources?
Sometimes they say right on the homepage. On the homepage, sometimes they'll say very light on resources, or they say, oh, this provides a lot more customization. And sometimes it's just reading the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have to say, I am currently, we didn't talk about this before the show, but I am building a site for a client right now. And she wants it to be on WordPress. It's actually a redesign of her current WordPress site, which I built several years ago, but I didn't really know much about WordPress. I sort of like, it was a learning opportunity, whatever. Anyway, we're upgrading it, and she's decided to go with Divi, which is one of these site builder, page builder type ones. So just for our listeners to elaborate on this, you install the Divi, I guess, theme, and then inside that, you can choose themes sort of inside it. Like you have a whole lot of other options about what you want each page to look like. So the clothing that your website is going to be wearing, you have access to an entire wardrobe, you might say.
So Mike, do you mean like there's like an option for a full page and a sidebar, or a page with like a hero and then a slider and maybe a modal or a pop-up? So like you click that, and then that particular entry or page is designed like this thing?
Yeah. In fact,
That sounds really cool.
The example, when I was toying around with it today, it was just today that I started with it. You could open a page of your site, let's say the about page, click apply template or whatever. I don't know how it's labeled. And it would give you this little pop-up that shows all kinds of about pages that they have designed or people have designed and included in their platform. And you can just scroll through them all and say, oh, I like the look of that about page. And you click on it and boom, all of a sudden your about page looks like that. You may need to massage the content a little because it's not going to be smart enough to know where all your stuff goes necessarily, but it's pretty slick. And I got to be honest, it was very, very user-friendly to customize and all that kind of thing.
Again, you can customize them quite easily. As you said, you could just install one of them and then just, okay, say, oh, hey, I like that. And then change it as you see fit. A lot of them allow you to drag and drop literally, or hey, click, I want to upload an image, drag the image right in. You don't have to worry about knowing code. You don't have to worry about trying to figure out how to maneuver it exactly how you want to.
Yeah, and changing gradients and colors, and like it was very user-friendly so far. So I am a little concerned. So you mentioned earlier about some are more bloated than others and may add all kinds of code that is maybe only necessary because they're giving you so much control. So I'm anxious to see what it's going to end up with at the end code-wise, but in terms of user-friendliness and that kind of thing, it was great so far. And it's also it's just really beautiful. Like the templates they provide are really well designed visually.
All right, cool. I have a question related to Divi, and I guess by extension to other theme builder themes. So you've got a section. It could be your blog or your services section on your website. And you've set up your Divi theme or look for that particular section. If I had one page or one entry inside of that section, can I give it a different look, or is it?
As far as I know, you can. I'm not an expert, Gregory. Maybe you can confirm, but I think so.
Because that, if you can, that's really cool.
It depends on the page builder too. Some might not allow you to, but some might also allow you to. I've used Divi; is a very popular one, and it is. You do have to pay for it.
Yeah.
But I have used it before, and it does allow you a lot of control. Mm-hmm. But again, it's sometimes overwhelming for the DIYer in terms of actually installing it and then going, whoa, I have 400 options to play with.
That's right. Yeah, you okay. have to be someone who wants to kind of get your hands dirty and toy around, not necessarily in code because you won't need to do that. But yeah, if you want to like actually change things at a granular level, that might be for you. But yeah, if you just want your site to look good, you're probably better off just go and find a theme that you like the look of and install that one theme and then boom.
Or you can install a theme and a page builder too. That's what I do for a lot of my clients is I install a basic theme that allows me to do what I want and then I do a page builder so they can customize the site further.
Interesting.
All right, cool. So I've been working on my website, my WordPress website, and I'm stuck or something is broken. How do I get help with my WordPress website? I remember looking at WordPress support several years ago, and it was like $10,000 for a year or something. And I looked a couple of months ago, and I couldn't find that link anymore. So I don't know if there's still official support is really exorbitant. If you know, how much is the official support right now? And if I don't have this really expensive option, as I don't have that much money, how do I get good support?
That's actually funny, Sean. I had that list as one of my questions that I was going to bring up. So you brought it already up. Mm-hmm. But as I know, there is no official support. It's the company that officially supports the website does support for WordPress.com. So they do support. Okay. They do the support for that. So if you need support for your own stuff, then you have to go, okay, what is the problem that you're having? Are you having problems with your theme? Or you're having problems with a particular plugin, or you're having problems with WordPress itself. There's help sections for each individual within and each individual one. Say you're having problems with, let's say, your page builder, then you go to your page builder support and contact them and say, okay, guys, I need help. Here's what theme I'm currently using. Here's what plugins I have installed. Here's who I'm hosting with. And here's what it kind of looks like, and here's what I'm trying to do. And they usually
there's a lot of variables.
Because every single thing you change and add can be, I think I read there's over 100,000 different plugins on the WordPress store itself. So you really have to, when you ask for support, you really have to list everything. And if you don't know how to do that, then the support people can help you. If you're using something on the WordPress store, then you have to go into the forums and say, hey, okay, guys, I'm having trouble with this particular thing. Why is this error showing up? Sometimes there used to be what WordPress called the white screen of death. That sometimes just showed up. As if you Google WordPress white screen of death, you'll find it quite easily. But it was basically the WordPress site stopped working. It gave a really weird error or just stopped working entirely. But now WordPress has fixed that so that emails you and it tries to get your website back up. But it all depends on where you need help. If you need help just in general and you don't want to go through a forum, there are companies which provide WordPress support. You can Google WordPress support company and find almost any company. Right. There's many companies that can help you.
So if you're having trouble getting community help or finding with Google, then you could find a company that you could pay however much per hour or per task. I'm stuck on this. Okay, it's $100 or it's $50 or it's $500, whatever it's going to cost.
Or it's $30 a month. You could pay something like $30 a month.
Oh, there's services that will do maintenance for $30 a month. Oh, interesting. Is there any sort of official or very popular support forums or places that we can include in the show notes, like a couple of links that you would recommend?
It's really, honestly, it's the WordPress store form for that particular theme or plugin.
So, Gregory, we should ask this up front, I suppose, but do you use any other CMSs aside from WordPress when you develop your websites?
Currently, I don't. Currently, I specialize in WordPress because that is what I've done for many years and it's what I know how to do. I have done other CMSs, Shopify, Wix, Weebly, Squarespace, and even what's called Drav. Some listeners may have heard about that.
Sure. I heard about Drav.
Yeah, so I've used all of them at one point or another, but I decided WordPress was just one that I wanted to use and help my clients with because most people use.
Yeah.
Most people, at least in my physical area, use.
Right. Okay.
Is there a particular reason that you chose WordPress when you started out?
Honestly, just because I got hooked on it. I said, what am I going to do? Oh, let's try WordPress. And then I installed it and went, oh, this is fairly easy. Oh, that's easy to find some of this stuff. Oh, if I need help, I go here or I do that. Okay, let's do a WordPress. Let's help with WordPress then.
That's great. All right. So let me ask you this. What situation, in what situation would WordPress be the wrong choice of CMS to use?
when would you recommend a client that, or a potential client comes to you and says, look, I need a new website, or I want you to rebuild my website. Here's the spec. And then you look at them and go, you know what? WordPress is not the right thing. I need to recommend that you go and talk to Sean and Mike or somebody else who uses a different CMS that you think would better suit the job. I'm just saying Sean and Mike because we focus on something that's not.
And it could be, it could be that you don't think it's ever not the right choice. I don't know. I'm just interested in what you think about that.
There honestly is times where I'm going like, WordPress is not the right option for you. If you're doing a custom website or you want to be able to change every single detail about your website, then go to somewhere else. Don't bother doing WordPress because WordPress does not let you change every single thing. And if you want a store, but you also want some customization, but you don't have to worry about everything behind the scenes, then Shopify or something like that would help. But again, as you said, there are times when WordPress is just not the right platform. But it varies. You might have to, I found it, some clients install WordPress, and then they go, no, that's not right for me. I'm going like, that's fine. You can go somewhere else, try somebody else. I'm not,
right.
So no lock-in.
In that case, it sounds like sometimes the client just doesn't like the user experience of WordPress, which they need to find something else. It could be Craft, it could be Drupal, it could be whatever CMS. It's just something that works better for them as a user experience.
Yeah, exactly. Or they want the support. Some CMS like Shopify or Wix or Weebly provide easy to access support. With WordPress, you really have to do a little bit more digging. But
yeah, I think that the software as a services like Wix and Weebly and WordPress or Squarespace that you mentioned, if you need support, those are places that you're definitely going to get support because you're paying them every month, and that's part of their option. Is it's easy to use, and we will help you.
Exactly, but it's also like you also pay for that, and you don't get as much customization. With WordPress, you can customize basically almost a lot of stuff. If you don't like the theme, change out the theme and keep your content where it is. If you don't like a certain plugin or plugins giving you error, or you even want, say, to accept bookings on your website, there's many different booking plugins you can install.
Right. So just to jump back a little bit, so Gregory said that one of the things that might, a reason that WordPress might not be the right site is that it needs a super customization or ability to edit everything. So like a truly bespoke site. Conversely, I sometimes turn away a client because of the budget. So like my sites, the starting price is a lot higher than what you can get a WordPress site for. And if they don't have the budget, I will send them to somebody that does WordPress or Wix or Squarespace or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Mike.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
But absolutely. I've had clients that I've had to turn away because they have either A, unrealistic expectations, or B, they don't have the budget for it.
Yeah, there's always a trade-off, right? Like you might want to be able to control every aspect of your website, but are you ready to pay for someone to set up your website in such a way that allows you to do that? Maybe not. Maybe you don't have the budget for that. So you have to ask yourself, well, you know, do I want to save my money or do I want to have control?
And again, it's not necessarily saving money. It's putting your money in a different way.
Yeah.
Because you might say, okay, I want to pay the money for support, but I'm willing to pay for something like Shopify or something else that I can get the support easily.
Right.
Right. And even though I use like Craft and I build really bespoke sites, I don't give 100% control to most of my client sites. They put the money into other things, like some things that just are unlikely to change. It's better just to hard code that in. And if they need a change 6 months or a year later, they email me. 5 minutes of work, it fits into their maintenance plan, and boom, done.
Right.
Okay. So we spent a lot of time talking about WordPress and all that it does for people. What are the advantages of WordPress, which we've kind of hit on, and the disadvantages? So the pros and cons, and if you can kind of try to address it specifically for a DIY guy rather than a developer, that would be great.
So the pro is you get much more options. With WordPress, if you don't like the hosting company, you can go with a different hosting company. If you don't like your theme, you can do a different theme. Don't like any of the plugins, you can change any of those. But the con to that is there's so many options to that. There's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of options. So you have to go, okay, do I want all those options? Or do I want to just be able to pick something and go with it?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also many other options depending on the person, the DIYer, depending on what you're willing to do and what customization you want to have. And as well as what you want to pay.
Yeah, so the community is almost like a blessing and a curse, right? Because you have this, it's powering most of the internet. It's been around for, I don't know, 10 years or more? I don't know, whatever it was. And so,
it's probably closer to 15.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, I'd say closer to 15, okay. But I'm not exactly sure. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it right now.
Just go to WordPress.org.
But the other side of that, yeah, is you can kind of get lost in that sea of WordPress advice and plugins and whatnot. Yeah,
15 years.
No kidding.
WordPress came out May 27th, 2003.
Oh, wow! Way to go, WordPress.
Actually, I think that's 16 years.
I was just gonna say, yeah. Okay, well, I think we pretty much reached almost our time. Does anyone have anything else they wanted to add, Sean or Gregory?
I agree with Mike. I think we hit the wall here. We've had a great topic. So, Gregory, can you tell us where visitors can find you online, your website, your social media, any other places that we can learn about you?
Then you can find my website is gjdev.ca. That will be in the show notes.
Include that in the show notes.
And I have a blog there, so you can also read about WordPress stuff. It won't necessarily be what the best plugins and stuff like that, but it will help you overall in the big picture. As well as I have a Twitter and LinkedIn Twitter account and a LinkedIn page for my company, so that you can find that stuff directly there. Basically, they might not always be directly WordPress related, but it might still help your website in general. Again, yeah, all that
and
stuff.
That's important for everybody.
All that stuff will be linked in the show notes.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Gregory, for coming out. And anybody who's looking for WordPress help, make sure you check out Gregory.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gregory.
Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode. My name is Sean Smith, your co-host, and you can find me at my website, caffeinecreations.ca, on Twitter, Caffeine Creation, that's spelled CaffeineCreation, and also I'm on LinkedIn, Caffeine Creations.
And I'm Mike Mella, and you can find me online at belikewater.ca, and I'm also on LinkedIn and Twitter. My username is Mike Mella, that's MikeMella.